It will take a lot of people doing a lot of different things to defeat cancer. People working in laboratories, people working in clinics, people climbing mountains. That third category might have been a little less predictable. But you've seen the many ways in which people raise awareness of cancer and raise money to fight it. Walks and dance contests and road races and the climbing of mountains. Climb Against the Odds sent a crew of climbers up Mount Shasta this week. Not the first time and won't be the last. Let's hear about the climb and what it accomplishes. We have two guests with us. Gene Rizzo is the president and CEO of the Breast Cancer Fund. Gene, welcome to you.
Morning. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Dr. Marie Elizabeth Ramos is with us as well. She's a physician in Mount Shasta. Hi, Dr. Ramos.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
It's good to have you both here. Gene Rizzo, let's start with you. Tell us about the genesis of the Breast Cancer Fund and the genesis of Climb Against the Odds.
Well, thank you. The organization was founded in 1992, and the founder realized that we weren't paying enough attention to the causes of breast cancer and how we might prevent it. And while treatment and screening are all important, she felt it was really important to create a metaphor that was more than the way we were approaching breast cancer in the past. And the mountain provided that. And it started in 1995 with Aconcagua in Argentina. We went on to McKinley and Fuji in Japan. But we found our home in Shasta. And this is our 11th annual climb with the idea that preventing breast cancer is like the summit of this mountain. It's really hard to get to, and we need to do it as a team, but we need to keep our eyes on it. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, which is preventing this disease.
So just to understand, there are not a bunch of simultaneous climbs. I mean, the Climb Against the Odds is one event, and it picks one mountain a year, and obviously for the last several years it's been Mount Shasta.
That's correct. We do one mountain a year, and then we have other events across the country, which are... There's a Cactus to Clouds that will go on in the fall down in Palm Springs. There's there's something up in New Hampshire. But this is a real expedition. This is a real mountain climb. And we do one a year, and people come from all over the country to join. It's amazing. We had 29 on our team this year, and they were amazing. They trained, and they fundraised, and they came ready to climb. It was pretty incredible.
Did you think about taking on smaller mountains? I mean, McKinley, Fuji, Aconcagua, and Mount Shasta, all big, big mountains.
Well, it's a big, big problem. Breast cancer is, we've come to almost accept it as normal that one in eight women in her lifetime will have breast cancer, and we felt we needed to shout from a mountaintop that that's not okay, that there are contributing factors to breast cancer in our environment, in the toxic chemicals in our everyday lives, in the air we breathe, the water we drink, the products we use, the lining of food cans, in personal care products, and that's a big message, and we felt it took big mountains to be able to tell it.
All right. Dr. Marie Elizabeth Ramos in Mount Shasta, can we assume you were on the climb this year?
Yes, I was. It was my first time climbing Mount Shasta.
And how long have you lived in the area?
I've been in Mount Shasta for the last 3 years as a family physician.
All right. So not that everybody has to climb the mountain in the first 3 years they lived there, but congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell us about how you got involved with Climb Against the Odds.
Well, you know, being a family doctor, it's imperative to me to set an example for my patients of what a healthy lifestyle is. And one of the things that really drew me to the Breast Cancer Fund was the fact that it's really the only organization that focuses on prevention, things that we can do as individuals to help with our own physical well-being in the future. And that was really attractive to me as a family doctor, particularly. Also, my mother, she went through a very serious case of cancer last year, and unfortunately lost her battle in December. And as we moved here, the mountain was a source of strength for her. And I thought it would be a wonderful way for me to celebrate my mother's life and celebrate her journey through her cancer treatment. On the broader spectrum, my aunt, she's a breast cancer survivor, now 6 years, and I actually personally just lost one of my patients to breast cancer. She was a young woman, 36 years old, with 5 kids, died of stage 4 breast cancer. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And what a powerful message that was for my patient's family to know that I was climbing on behalf of breast cancer prevention. That was really strong for them to understand that concept.
We're talking to Marie Elizabeth Ramos and Gene Rizzo about the climb against the odds on Mount Shasta. They just returned from the climb up Mount Shasta to demonstrate the battle against breast cancer by the Breast Cancer Fund. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Gene Rizzo, this is a fairly typical story, though. I mean, don't most of, if not all of the women who take part in Climb Against the Odds have some connection, either personal or at least familial, with breast cancer?
You know, we had men on our climb this time as well, and young women. Our youngest was 19. I think our oldest was 67. There were 6 women with breast cancer. Many of the others had family. There were a mother-son team and a mother-daughter team. Excuse me. So people feel this connection because everyone's been touched somehow, or they know, they come from an environmental perspective where they understand that the environment is contributing. Then you have somebody like Tessa Montgomery, your own Tessa, another local Shasta person, who climbed because the funds that she raised, we always grant back to the local breast health services of Siskiyou County. And every year there's one of the local Shasta climbers climbs for the people in this county. And she'd lived here forever and always looked at the mountain. And then this time she decided to do something great for the local community. And she raised over $12,000.
And how much total came off of this Climb Against the Odds?
Right now we're at about $250,000 in individual fundraising from the climbers, plus our personal sponsors, people that give cash not for a particular climber's fundraising but to the organization, and gear sponsors. North Face, Clean Canteen, who's pretty local here in Chico. We had a number of sponsors, Lakey Poles, Princeton Tech headlamps that really show up. Shasta Mountain Guides are phenomenal. They all want to be on this climb. They raise money themselves for us. They have a paid climb and they raise money and they turn around and they donate to us. So it's an incredible community event.
It's $250,000 for just this year?
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Marie Elizabeth Ramos, granted it is summer and it's warm and there's not a great deal of snow on Mount Shasta as we've been looking at for a while, but I mean, how tricky a climb is this?
You know, that snow from the ground is quite deceiving.
Yeah.
I looked at the mountain, I said, man, you know, that's maybe about 10, maybe 30 feet of snow, and when I got on it, that was a trek. it took many months of training and dedication to be able to get our bodies in order to get up there. But really the best part of it was that we were all lined up in a team. We were roped together, always safe. There were, as Gene was saying, there were people coming up and down the mountain, making sure that the climbers were safe, were adroit with their thought process, and were aligned. Our guides never let go of us. And it was literally one foot in front of the other, which is a beautiful metaphor, I think, for life. You know, sometimes you just have to have a bigger reason besides yourself to get through hard times. And then if you can pass through that, you have a spectacular view from the other side. And that's exactly how it felt for me.
That was going to be a question here. So let me back up to the idea of the one foot in front of the other, because I'm thinking those footfalls feel pretty heavy at about 13,000 feet, or maybe even sooner than that.
Yeah, you know, we're climbing on the side of a mountain when you're at about a 75-degree angle is not natural. So, you know, it definitely is taxing on the body. And at 13,000 feet elevation, really, you know, centering on what's essential, which is, you know, again, making sure that your feet are planted and solid, and then making sure that you have enough breath. I mean, you know, all of the little things in life, you know, the cosmetic side of things, and, you know, am I looking right? Am I acting the right way? That kind of goes aside. You know, you really have to really focus and dig deep and, that's definitely what I had to do at 13,000 feet.
So there must be a moment, though, at which the 75-degree incline changes and things flatten out and you get a chance to turn around and look and see where you've been. What was that moment like?
you know, it felt like a little piece of heaven, Jeff. If I could imagine my mom looking from heaven and looking down on me, that's what kind of gave me some motivation. So just about every hour or so, we would take a break. We'd hydrate ourselves. We'd get a snack to make sure that we're fueled. And that was when I could take a breath and just look out. And having a bird's eye perspective on the city and the town that I'm going to love, that is something so unique I'm going to carry with me.
We're talking to Maria Elizabeth Ramos and Gene Rizzo about the climb against the odds at Mount Shasta over the course of the past couple of days. It puts money into the Breast Cancer Fund to work on the causes of breast cancer. Here's a call from Cynthia and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Gene Rizzo and Maria Elizabeth Ramos.
Yes, I really want to applaud you. What a great effort, and I really admire you for taking this on. Prevention is really the way to go, and I have felt that for a long time. But unfortunately, there's no money in prevention, and there is, you know, there are really big profits to be made for big companies in these treatments and even mammograms, and then now the big pink campaign, which I feel is really an exploitation of cancer victims and their families. And I really would like to see some kind of a big media blitz on prevention. And so show us the way. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Cynthia. So Gene Rizzo, this is clearly the kinds of things that you're talking about at the Breast Cancer Fund.
We are. We have been aggregating the scientific evidence showing the link between toxic chemicals and breast cancer for well over a decade, and issuing reports, testifying in Congress, you know, joining federal committees. There was a big federal report that came out just a year ago calling for the prioritization of the prevention of breast cancer. And we have to push for that to be more than a report on the shelf somewhere. We have to push to get some more of the federal funding, to get some of the bigger cancer organizations to say we also will invest. And people like Marie, who will talk with her patients about prevention, that does not prevail. We have to get to the healthcare providers. And we find an empowered public, the consumer asking or demanding, asking their doctor, what can I do? Should I be using these products with bisphenol A? What about the formaldehyde in the nail polish at the salon? Do you think that's a good idea? Those kinds of questions that they move the market, they get companies to change what they're doing, healthcare providers to think, well, I really ought to know more about this because my patients are asking. So it's a, you know, we have to keep consumers motivated while we still go to Sacramento and we go to Washington, D.C. to try to get policy change. But we do need more money invested in this, and I don't mean just in the Breast Cancer Fund, of course, although we would love that, but for the other environmental health organizations that we work with to try to make this change.
But what Cynthia is talking about, though, sounds like she really wants to make sure that there's money that goes to labs. I mean, given some of the developments in recent years, discovering the BRCA genes, for example, that can lead to breast cancer, I mean, there have been some major developments, haven't there?
Well, there have been. You know, when the BRCA gene, the BRCA genes were discovered, let me just say, between the 1940s and now, the increased risk of women with the BRCA gene is now fivefold. So you start off with the BRCA gene, which gives you a 5 to 7-8% higher risk of breast cancer. That's a high risk of, you know, nobody wants any risk of disease that's genetic. You add on the environmental factors. You add that to it, and now you have the perfect storm. You have the increased risk already because your genes are set. They're poised. They're poised for you to get breast cancer. And now you add all the environmental toxicants that you're exposed to, and you have that much more of a risk. Or if you live by a toxic dump site, or you happen to be a woman who works in a canning manufacturing plant, or you're a woman firefighter, you've just elevated those risks significantly.
You talked about some of the things that people could be doing, looking for the nail polishers that don't have the formaldehyde, looking for cans and bottles that don't contain BPA. I mean, what are some of the other major things that you suggest that people avoid?
Well, I think it's conscious consumerism, and don't get paralyzed by it. So we tell people, start with one room in your house, literally, or start with your kids. What am I exposing my kids to? You know, the packaging and the food. I mean, one of our climbers made a really interesting thing. She said, we feel like after every soccer game, we need to buy them some drink in plastic for them to drink for the 10-minute ride home. Reuse a water bottle. Fill it up with this fabulous Mount Shasta water. Don't use so much plastic. Certainly don't microwave in it. But take a room of your house or one part of your family and say, I'm going to work on protecting that. Once you start doing that and you start reading labels and you realize you have no idea what's in it because you can't read the words, if you can't understand the label, there's a good chance there's something bad in it. So it starts there. If you can eat organic, local, sustainable, that kind of thing, bring your bag to the grocery store, bring your glass containers. And you'll be amazed at how you begin to change your behavior. It changes what you look for, changes what you shop for, and it changes what's stored in the market.
We'll take a couple more minutes here to talk about prevention of breast cancer and Climb Against the Odds, which just completed on Mount Shasta. Jean Rizzo is the president and CEO of the Breast Cancer Fund. Marie Elizabeth Ramos is a Mount Shasta physician. You can join us at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or email jx@jeffnet.org. Marie, it takes a couple of days to get up there, right? Where do you stay on the way up Mount Shasta?
Well, we actually had to hike from Bunny Flats, which is about 5,900 feet, to the west side of the mountain at Hidden Valley. It's a gorgeous little piece of heaven on the west face of the mountain. And we camped there for a few days, actually. Got up on the 17th, camped overnight, and then left very early, about 12:30 in the morning, to start our trek upwards to the summit.
12:30, you mean like just after midnight?
Mm-hmm. Just after midnight, yeah, on Wednesday morning.
Why so early?
The trip took about 8 hours to get up to the summit, and it takes just about as long to get down. So you want to make sure that you have plenty of time for emergencies, for delays, so we don't get stuck when it gets dark up there. Conditions have to be just right, and luckily this year the conditions were fabulous for us.
So how many people went up altogether, and did they all make it to the summit?
There were 25 that went up.
Go ahead, Jean. You were trying to get in there.
Oh, sorry, Jean.
No, it's fine. We had 25 who came. Four people actually had health and injury issues before their climb, so they couldn't join us, but they had signed up and fundraised. 25 people set out. And 20 people made the summit, and everybody made it at least a couple of thousand feet out of base camp. So 11,500, 12, 13, 3. So it was pretty amazing. And this is, as I said, mostly people who've never climbed a mountain before, people going through treatment, women, men, young people. We had a 19-year-old college student, a 16-year-old high school student, and a couple of retired seniors.
And Marie, what's the sorest part of you right now?
My feet.
Really?
My feet. We were carrying about 30 to 40 pounds on our backs while we were trekking up, and our feet was what was keeping us stable. So I am nursing them back to health, and hopefully next month we'll be back on the mountain. I got the bug.
You got the bug. You're going to do this again. You've been bitten, right?
I have.
So the physical climb is tough enough, but does the process of doing this with so many other people work something like a group therapy session?
I would say so. What was most motivating for me, Jeff, was listening to everyone's story. And like I mentioned before, just like in life, you have to sometimes look outside of yourself and find a bigger reason to go on. And certainly the amazing people that I had the ability to spend time with inspired me, absolutely inspiring. When you are roped with three other people, and you really are depending on one another to make it to your goal, there's something special in that, and there's a unique bond that's formed. So definitely it was a motivation for me to continue. And when I was tired and felt kind of defeated, that was what gave me the push to continue to move forward.
It's kind of like marathon swimming or marathon running. You really have to kind of push yourself beyond the limits of your own endurance.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, isn't that such a beautiful picture of how our walk in life is? You have high points, you have low points. Sometimes you have to just barrel through. Sometimes just standing is all you can do, and that's better than nothing. But any step forward is a step forward to your goal, to your summit, and that's the whole purpose of the Breast Cancer Fund. As a family doctor, again, I mean, that's why I'm here. I'm here to tell my patients that, you know, even though life is hard, you can take ownership of your life. You can take ownership of what you put into your body, and there's beauty that's found in that. You know, that's something that the Academy of Family Physicians, which I'm a part of, also stands very firmly on as well.
All right, very inspiring stuff. Climb Against the Odds just came down Mount Shasta. Maria Elizabeth Ramos, a Mount Shasta physician, made the climb for the first time. Jean Rizzo is the president and CEO of the Breast Cancer Fund. Thank you both very much for joining
us on
Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. You're wonderful. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good to have you.